All right, welcome to this edition of the Industry 45 podcast show. I am the host, Shane Christopher Neal. Thanks for hanging out, and you can check out the Industry 45 show at Giant TV Niagara on YouTube, and gianttv.ca is the website. So my conversation with drummer Dave Langeth was so long that I decided to make it into three parts. Dave has quite a storied past, a lot of experience in the music business, and if you don't know Dave, he is the current touring drummer for none other than Kim Mitchell. He is from the East Coast out in Halifax. He went to Berklee College, and he got his first big break, I guess, by meeting Randy Cook, really, in Toronto, who's also a drummer. He's now out in Los Angeles, and Randy set Dave up to audition for none other than Rick Emmett. Randy was once the drummer for Rick Emmett, and we talk a little bit about that in part one and just about some of his influences going to Berklee. And you get to know Dave a little bit. So here you go. This is part one of three parts of Dave Langeth, touring drummer for Kim Mitchell, right here on the Industry 45 podcast show. All right, Industry 45 podcast show. It's always my favorite thing to talk to drummers because they run the music business. Let's face it. Got one of the best in this country on the line, Dave Langeth. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for having me, Shane.
You know, I was thinking about this earlier today that actually the last live music show that I saw was the Kim Mitchell show in St. Catharines, you know, before this shit show happened.
Yeah, exactly.
So I know you're always busy playing. I guess my first question is just generally, what do you do now being in quarantine? I mean, you did, you know, you were playing a lot with Kim. And yeah. I'm sure you record a lot in that too. So like, what are you doing while you're sitting at home?
Well, I mean, the thing is, we just had that theater run that just happened, and we missed only one show before the whole quarantine thing started. And typically besides those gigs, you know, I'm gigging around town. So all that work was lost. And then also recording and teaching out of my studio. So that studio was on the opposite side of the city. So I haven't been out there since the 13th, I think, something like that.
Wow.
And if you were aware of the way this whole CERB, the relief benefit was going, if you did any work at the beginning when they came up with the idea of the benefit, you were not eligible to get the CERB. So I basically have been holding off and not doing anything. And like the whole recording thing or doing online lessons. And, you know, I'm not really set up for online lessons now. I've got it going. And also the CERB has changed now where they're allowing self-employed workers to make up to $1,000 in the month. So that, you know, you can make a little extra income from, you know, doing online lessons, and whatnot. But to even get the online lesson thing going is not that easy. I try to, you know, use mixers and microphones and electronic drums and all that. And there's always a learning curve for everything.
It's funny, you're speaking about electronic drums. I just ordered a Yamaha DTX 12.
Right on.
Yeah, and I was doing that because we were writing some songs, and I was like, you know, my drums are loud, and I'm like, you know, my daughter's here, so I thought, you know what, I can go upstairs in my living room, right, and screw around a little bit, be creative, maybe learn some drum loops to put in with the songs and stuff. So anyway, yeah. I want to talk about you here. So talk to me about you. Were you born in Ontario or out in the East Coast? I know you were in the East Coast, but
yeah, I'm a New Brunswicker.
You're an East Coaster. Wow. And then I know you got your start playing with some big names, Nelly Furtado being one of them. So explain how you started in music. When did you start? What age were you? And I know you went to the Berklee School of Music, right? So obviously you're a well-taught musician. So give me a little bit of that background real quick.
So starting from the ripe age of two, I'll just go right back to that. You know, it was like when it all started was, I think it was Elvis Presley. Whenever my mom would put on Elvis Presley, I would go completely bonkers, and it was dancing. I would always dance to music, and you know, like drumming is not far off from dancing. It's such an extension of your body by just, you know, putting drumsticks in your hands, right? You know, I dance on my drum seat. That's where it all starts. So, yeah, putting a pair of sticks in your hands, you're hearing what you're doing. You actually make sound for the body motions that you're making. And then my mom got me into private drum lessons when I was six, I think five and a half or six. So, I did that for a few years with a teacher, went on, I had three teachers, all private instructors. And, the last teacher through high school was a really great teacher. Norman Culp was his name, is his name. He lives in St. John still. And he prepared me for Berkeley. So at 17, because I got the late birthday in December, I was pretty young going to Berkeley, 17 years old, and went there for a couple years until all the finances ran out, because Berkeley is incredibly expensive. And I think now it's like $40,000 a year or something insane. Very, very expensive school. And out of Berkeley, I went, I think I just came back for the summer. Did some odd jobs to make a little bit of money, and then packed up and moved to Halifax.
And so when did you know, because I said this to you, you're like extremely talented and gifted. You have to be, because just watching you play, when did you feel like that you had, I guess, something special? Or has that not happened yet?
You know what? It's the eye of the beholder. It's like, I don't know. It's like, it's all perspective. It's all relative. And you, from someone's outside perspective looking in, it's completely different than the person doing it. It's like, you know, when you say, like, someone says, man, it's awesome that you're living your dream. It's never really been a dream. It's a reality for me. It's what I know.
Right.
And as far as feeling like, oh, I got something, I never felt like that. I just, maybe I had an easier time doing some things than other people might have, which people would say that naturally gifted thing. I mean, I see kids on YouTube that are doing stuff when they're like 8 years old. It's like, oh my God. Right. So whatever that level of like how talented you are, you know, obviously I had enough of a facility that I wasn't discouraged all the time. I didn't find that I was discouraged playing drums. I had incredible fun doing it, and as I improved and got better, and the more I learned, the more I ended up challenging myself. So you know, obviously I got heavily into bands like Rush. Sure. You know, very intricate music, a lot of arrangements, a lot of people always say math. I don't really find there's math. It's just numbers. It's like, you know, counting. Mm-hmm. and being able to coordinate a count in your head or verbally with your mouth while you're playing. It's kind of like having another limb. So I don't really, you know, the mathematical, when people think like mathematical figuring out, there's no real adding and subtracting or multiplication that, you know, that goes on in a lot of drumming, which people might think. But
Did you practice a lot too as a youngster? And do you now? Like, growing up, is this something you always did? You just picked up the drumsticks whenever you're home or?
Yeah, that was definitely the case. Obviously, for my lessons that I had to do for teachers, I practiced what I was supposed to. There was a few gaps in there where I was by myself and I didn't have a teacher for like a year and a half or something. And I really ended up like pushing myself. Like I had a couple of books and I actually taught myself how to read better alone without having any, guidance through that. So all that stuff contributes to who you are. And for me, I always pushed myself. I liked the challenge and I got off on that, you know?
So you're in Halifax, you're playing with some artists down there and, or over there or up there, wherever the fuck it is. And then you come to Ontario. So explain a little bit about that, maybe the whys, and did Rob Laidlaw have anything to do with this? Because he tells me he does. I don't know. You come to Ontario to play with Sass Jordan, Alana Miles, Rick Emmett, and give me that story a little bit about coming here to this province.
Yeah, well, I spent 5 years, and I said early on, I'll give myself 5 years in Halifax and, you know, see how it goes. When I left high school, I said I have two goals for Canada, and then I would actually consider myself successful. Like I made it, whatever making it is. You know, some people might look at making it as being a financial thing, which also being financially secure is a aspect of making it. But self-satisfaction, you know, like I actually accomplished something. And those two goals was Rick Emmett and the other one was Kim Mitchell. And
why Rick Emmett? Was it because he was part of Triumph? Again, going back to that, you know, the kind of, and I don't want to say it was really prog rock, but it was very, you know, I guess it was almost like prog rocky, right? When back in the day of Triumph.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? I'm actually When you think of like a fan of drumming, if you look at my CD collection, you'll find more guitar players. You'll find more guitar players and singers that I like. It's the same with like, I didn't just only like Rush, for example, because Neil Peart was incredible. I was a fan of Getty's voice. I was a fan of Alex's guitar playing, his melodic phrasing and his harmonies and the songs. I got off on the songs. They were like, wow, you know, like Power Windows just blew my mind. Like it went from, you know, hearing Bon Jovi on the radio to Power Windows,
sure.
You know,
yep.
Like, you know, I did that kind of other stuff. I didn't really get off on that. Although I enjoy, you know, straight ahead music as well. But coming from Halifax and having those goals of like, yeah, I want to play with Rick Emmett, I want to play with Kim Mitchell and stuff like that. That's something that I always, you know, that was more like a dream, I'd say. As far as like playing music and being in bands, I never had any doubt that I wouldn't be doing that. But I gave myself a 5-year plan and kind of, you know, when it was getting down to the end of the fifth year, I was starting to get really antsy. Like, I'm like, I got to get out of here. Cause nothing against any of the musicians or the ability. There's so many talented players, in Halifax and the East Coast in general. And I thank all those people that ever gave me the opportunity to perform with them. It's just, you know, bagpipes and fiddles. There seemed to have to be a bagpipe and a fiddle on every recording.
Right.
And I just wasn't, you know, I wanted more than that. And, you know, God bless her, Rita McNeil, Rita and friends. I was kind of at the point where all the musicians I was starting to perform with were musicians in the Rankin family bands.
Yes.
Rita and friends. And they're all top musicians, all world-class players. But I thought, man, if I have to be here for 13 years to get in line to play on Rita and Friends, why am I not just spending the 13 years go to Toronto and do it, you know?
Right.
So
how did you get the gig with Rick Emmett then?
So I was, the last thing I did in Halifax was touring Canada with a guy named Wayne Nicholson. And this guy, Wayne Nicholson, was an old friend of Andrew McCain from McCain's Food. And he always liked Wayne Nicholson. And years ago when he was younger, before he got into the potato business, taking over for his dad's company, he was a sound man. Funny how everything works. And anyway, Andrew puts us on a tour bus and sends us across Canada touring this record. And the band had music director was Kevin McMichael from the Cutting Crew. And the bass player in the band was Rob Laidlaw. If you've ever met Rob, I don't know.
Oh, yes. And many times.
Yeah. Yeah. So Rob, you know, Rob's a phenomenal bass player, played with all the cats in Toronto, everyone from Alana to Rick Emmett to Kim Mitchell to Lisa Del Bello to you name it. You know, he's played with everybody. And I was on the road touring with him, playing with him. And I found out Randy Cook was his buddy. And I was definitely a fan of Randy already because of some of the recordings he did on Rick Emmett's solo records. And the last show that we played was in Toronto before we went back to Halifax. And I stayed here with a knapsack and asked Rob Laidlaw if Randy could come to the show and see us play. And luckily, Randy didn't have a gig that night. He came out and watched us play. And he complimented me on my playing. And laughed at my drum kit and told me to buy a new one. He's like, dude, what are you doing with that drum kit? Get a better kit, man. It's like I had a better kit at home, but I didn't want to bring it on the road again. So anyway, he's like, when you get to Toronto, give me a call.